We've been in a series, and I hope you have your Bible and something to take notes with, amen? We've been in a series called Never Forget the One this whole month. We have one more week, and we've really been preparing ourselves for Easter, because Easter is the Super Bowl for the church. More people go to church at Easter than Christmas any other time of the year. And so we're preparing as a church for the harvest. We're believing for your family, your friends, your coworkers, your neighbors to come to Christ. Amen. So we're talking about never forget the one. Well, Pastor, how does that apply to Easter in preparation for Easter? Because we're talking about soul winning. We're talking this whole month about soul winning. We're talking about witnessing. We're talking about evangelism. We're talking about sharing our faith. And the challenge that I gave to you is the question, when is the last time you led someone to the Lord? When is the last time that you personally, yourself, led someone to Jesus Christ to get born again? Now, that question is not to condemn anybody, because I've told you, I warned you ahead of time, this is not a series of condemnation, but it is a series of challenge. It is a series of challenge. When's the last time that we shared our faith with someone? And I really believe that if we were taught how to do it through the power of the Holy Spirit, in Acts 1:8, it says that the Holy Spirit will come on you and you will be witnesses. So we need the power of the Holy Spirit to do it. Amen. So all month, if you haven't been with us, go to our website, download it. I promise you, I double dog dare you to do it. It will help you with your walk with the Lord. Amen. We found out that every member at Church on the Rock, you all have a ministry. Every one of you have a ministry. And every one of you, every member has a ministry at Church on the Rock. Every one of you have a calling on your life. Amen. You say, Pastor, what is that ministry? I thought we paid you to do it. No, you pay me to teach you how to do it. Boy, don't I got a great job. Amen. My job is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Ministry's work. Amen. And so I really believe that if you understand what your ministry is, and we talked about it, before anything else, we have the ministry of reconciliation. The ministry of reconciliation. What is that? Reconciling men and women to God. Reconciling human beings to God. We all have that ministry before anything else, the call in our life. You see, the only reason you and I have been left here after we got born again is to lead people to a God is for them. That's the only reason he left us here, is to seek and to save that which was lost. So we all have a ministry. Amen. And then we all have a message, right? Every messenger has to have a message. Every member has a ministry of reconciliation. And what brings people together is your message with God. Amen. You see, Pastor, I want to win souls. I want to share my faith. I want to witness. I want to evangelize. But Pastor, I'm an introvert. I just can't connect with people. That's an excuse and a lie of the devil. Amen. I don't have the personality. Oh, yes, you do. I don't know all the Bible. You don't have to. All you have to have is a story. And your story is simply this. What were you like before you met Christ? Then how did you meet Christ? Then how did Christ change your life? Amen. That's your story. And that's the good news. So with all that said, let's begin our study today. Never forget the one that everybody else has forgotten, the one that everyone else has left out, that one who's never included, that one who's never invited, that one who's never appreciated, that one who's always looked down as an outcast, a reject, not important, insignificant. At Church on the Rock, everyone is accepted at Church on the Rock. Doesn't matter the color of your skin, your background, education, economics, everyone is welcome and accepted in this great church. Now, just because we accept everyone doesn't mean we approve of their lifestyle. Okay, just because we accept, and we do, we accept the down and outer, the up and outer, and the in and outer. We accept everyone at Church on the Rock, but that doesn't mean we approve of their lifestyle. But with that said, we're called to catch the fish, not clean the fish. Okay, praise God. Moving right along. Hallelujah. Let's get right into it. Matthew 4:19. I encourage you to find this in your own Bible. Mark your Bible up. You know, that's one good thing that you can leave if the Lord tarries and you go by the grave. Be able to leave a paper Bible to your kids and your grandkids. That's huge. And he said unto them, follow me. Jesus is talking to his disciples to be. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Notice that was the first thing he said, that he would make them soul winners. He would make them Christ followers. As Christ followers, they would learn how to catch fish or build the kingdom of God. Be fishers of men. That's soul winning. That's evangelism. And I want you to see something. He said, follow me and I'll make you. Isn't it interesting that whoever we're following, we take on their characteristics. Whoever we're following, we take on their behavior. You see, what do you mean? Just look at your kids. Look at your grandkids. You know who they're hanging around by their attitude, their fashion, their appearance, their Nikes, right? Well, whatever they're wearing is because their friends are wearing it. And so we became like those we follow. We take on the characteristics and the conduct and the conversation of the person or thing that we're following. Notice we're called to follow him. So if we're followers of Jesus, we're to take on his characteristics. We're to take on his attitude, his approach, what's important to him. So notice he said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. I'll show you how to catch men, win souls for the kingdom of God. See yourself doing it. I challenge you. If you can't see yourself doing it, you'll never do it. You got to see it to be it. You got to see it to be it. You got to see it to be it. You got to see yourself. Jesus said, if you're following me, that's called being a follower of Christ or a Christian or Christ-like. If I'm following Christ, if I'm a Christian, then I'm going to care about souls. I'm going to care about the lost. I'm going to care about sighing, crying, dying humanity. It's not going to be my four and no more. It's not going to be just about me and my family. I'm going to care about those who no one else cares about. So see yourself doing it, being a soul winner, evangelizing your world. So we start off then with the Great Commission. So not only all of us under the sound of my voice have you been called, but you've been commissioned. So say it with me, I'm called and commissioned. And you see, what is the Great Commission, Pastor? Look on the screen, it's Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. And he said unto them, go. He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. This is called the Great Commission. And preach the gospel to every creature. So notice he said to them, to those that were following him. So this isn't just to the clergy or the laity. It's to every member, everyone who's a follower of Christ. Go into your world. So notice your world is your hobbies. Your world is your career. Your world is your job. Your world is your neighborhood. Your world is your family. You see, you can reach people in your world I could never reach. And I can reach people in my world you could never reach. There's only people, and many of you have a platform that only you could reach those people because of your platform. So the harvest field is your hobby. If you like to fish, then that's your harvest, other fishermen. If you're a golfer, if you're a hunter, whatever it might be, that your harvest or your world is your hobby, you connect with those people. You relate with those people. You identify with those people. Those people receive you. You have a platform. So you're to go into your world, and there, Pastor, it's just about you. Preach. No, the word preach there means to proclaim. Doesn't mean to get behind a pulpit and teach and preach a sermon. It means to herald, and it means to proclaim, and the gospel is good news. And I know your story is good news. what you were like before you met Christ, how you met Christ, and how your life has changed since you met Christ. Amen? So we all have a calling, and then we've all been commissioned, and now we've all been given the greatest commandment. You see, Pastor, what is the greatest commandment? It's in John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. This commandment is called the greatest commandment because if we live out this commandment, we won't transgress the Ten Commandments. You with me, family? So a new commandment. So think about the three C's. You're called, you're commissioned, and you have a commandment. This is not a suggestion. This is a commandment. And he said, a new commandment I give unto you. What is it, Lord? That you love one another. That you love one another. No matter the color of that person's skin, no matter their education, their EQ, IQ, economics, what side of the town or on the hill they live in, we're to love the unlovable. We're to love that one that everyone else sees as an outcast, a nobody. They're never invited. They're never included. No one loves them. No one cares for them. No one supports them. No one's there for them. That's the one that you and I want to go after so that we never forget the one. He said, I say unto you that you love one another as I have loved you. So our example of this love is how God loves us. As I've loved you, that you also love one another. Pastor, you have me so far, but I'm just telling you, I don't care about sinners. Let them go to hell. We've all been there, done that, had that T-shirt, right? We all had those days that we wish we could have pushed that person off the front porch, tell God they died accidentally, right? We've all had that. We all can identify with that. Pastor, I got enough in my own life and my kids and my grandkids and the in-laws, the outlaws, the blended family. I got enough in my own world. I don't have time to think about the lost. I don't have time to think about them. So here's what we want to do. If we have a new commandment, and if we're to love one another, and our example, our template, is as Christ loves us. I don't know about you, but Pastor Kim will tell you, there's some days I'm unlovable, but God still loves me. Amen. On your worst day, God still loves you. God still loves you. So when we see people at work and our hobby, that we see them at school, and we see them at wherever we might be, in the mall, the gas station, the grocery store, and they're unbearable, we're still to love them. We love the unlovable with a God kind of love. We've been called, we've been commissioned, and we have a commandment. We're to love one another. You see, Pastor, I can't love hard to get along sinners, ungodly people, perverts, perverse people. I don't have any compassion. So what should I do? Here's what you do. You begin to ask God to give you a burden for the lost. You begin to pray every day. You say, God, give me compassion for that one that no one else cares for, that everyone has given up on, that everyone sees as an outcast, a nobody, empty, lonely, going through life broken. Help me, God, to reach out to that person. God, today, and you pray this prayer every day, God, today, give me a burden. You see, I wouldn't go to a church that didn't teach evangelism and discipleship. I wouldn't go to a church that didn't teach evangelism and discipleship and didn't have a heart to win souls. I wouldn't invest in that ministry because the heartbeat of God is to seek and to save that which was lost. And then once they're found, be taught how to be a disciple and a Christ follower. So you begin to say, God, give me a burden for the lost. Give Church on the Rock a burden for the lost. Give me love for that lost. Help me to love the unlovable. Again, that scripture, look at it with me, a new commandment. I give unto you, every Christ follower, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Verse 35. And by this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you're weird, religious, judgmental, condemning, holier than thou, super spiritual, gone to church all your life. No. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples. Now, family, did you know there's a difference between a believer and a disciple? I've been doing this all my life. There's a difference between a believer and a disciple. A believer is someone who gets saved and they're going to heaven, but they are a carnal Christian and they never grow. A disciple is someone who gets born again and then gets on track, a daily process. They begin to be a disciple, which means disciplined follower of Christ. So there's a difference between those who come to church, sit and soak and take in, versus those who come and sit and serve and give out. Oh, that, boom. There's a difference between those who come and sit and soak and take in versus those who come, sit and serve and give out. One's a believer and the other is become a disciple. By this shall all men know you are my disciple. How? If you've learned, got a burden, prayed for compassion, ask God for the heart, for the hurting, for the hopeless. If you have love, one for another. So say it with me, please. Calling, commission, and commandment. Wow. So now let's go to Luke 14, and we've been in Luke 15. Luke 15, sometime you get time, study it out, because it's three parables. And all three parables talk about a lost sheep, one. Never forget the one. A lost coin, one. One lost coin. Or a lost son, the prodigal. So Luke 15 is all about going after the lost, being aggressive, seeking to save the lost, love the lost, go after the lost, and never give up on the lost. That's this whole month, the theme of my teaching. So now let's back up to the previous chapter. In Luke chapter 14, there's another parable. And that parable is called the parable of excuses. The parable of excuses. So we're going to talk about excuse-itis. You've heard about that before, right? It's kin to arthritis, right? Bursitis. But actually, it's worse, excuse-itis. Excuses are the language of losers. My hero is sitting down here this morning, and he'll tell you that you don't do what he did and has done and is doing with excuses. Excuses are the language of losers. Excuses will keep you from becoming the person God wanted you to be. Excuses will keep you from reaching your God-given potential. Excuses will keep you back, watch this, from being the best version of you. I love that. So we're looking at excuses and the parable of excuses. And so let's begin. Luke 14, 16. Everybody ready? Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are ready. And they all, without one consent, began to make what? I can't hear you. Excuses. Excuse-itis. You do not, as long as I make excuses, I'll live in denial and I'll be dysfunctional. As long as I make excuses, I blame, I be lame. As long as I make excuses, I'll live in denial and I'll never get my breakthrough. So notice they're all about to make excuses. Three dudes. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground and I must needs go and see it. I pray, have me excused. Now this cat needs help. You know why? I think he's dumb and dumber. Because he bought property before he saw it. Stop scrolling your phone. Stay with me now. Do y'all see this? he bought property. Look again. I have bought me a piece of ground, and now I got to go look at it. Boy, that's the kind of you realtors want somebody like that, right? I pray have me excuse. So he's making an excuse over possessions. He's putting possessions before God. He's making an excuse and putting possessions before God. The master of the house is a type and shadow of God, all right? Verse 19, and another said, this is the second dude, and another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I've got to go prove them, so pray I can't come so that I can be excused. Oxen right there was a type of business, a career. So this dude, this cat, is putting his business before God. The first guy putting his possession and materialism before God. The second guy put his business and career before God. Now the third guy, verse 20, and another said, I've married a wife and therefore... This guy needs to come in for counseling, doesn't he, Steve? You know, he's the head of his house, but his wife is the nick that turns the head. And another said, I've married me a wife, and therefore I can't come either. He's putting his family before God. 3 excuses. One said, you know, I'm too busy. Does that sound like people you know? Too busy for church, too busy for God, too busy for their one-year Bible, too busy for a daily devotional, too busy running their kids here and there, their business, their career, their trips, too busy. So another said, I married a wife, therefore I can't come, excuse me. Put his family before God. So look at Luke 14, 21, the parable of the excuses. Excuses are the language of a loser. You'll never grow. You'll never be the best version of who God created you to be. You'll never reach your potential. You'll never be a winner with excuse-itis. It's worse than arthritis or bursitis. So that the servant came and showed his Lord, it's a type of God, these things. Then said the master of the house, being angry. Notice their excuses angered the master of the house. Angered God. And angered and said to his servant, go out quickly. Let's all say quickly, quickly. Again, quickly. What's that? A sense of urgency. You and I at Church on the Rock, we need a sense of urgency. What we're going to do for God, we've got to do quickly. Tomorrow is not promised for you or for me. We've got to make today count. Name your day. Name your week. By the way, next week is breakthrough, right? There's got to be a sense of urgency in a disciple's life. A burden for the lost and an urgency to reach them. We don't want anybody to die and go to hell. You say, Pastor, why is there a hell? If you know your Bible, in the Old Testament, it states hell was never created for human beings. Hell was created for the devil and a third of the angels that fell with him and demon spirits. It was never created for human beings, but they can choose to go there. So he was angry and he said to his servant, go out quickly, go out into the streets and the lanes of the city. Now watch this, most Christians have never seen this. So the first part of the parable, he went out to invite them, right? Let's all say invite. Invite. And y'all been given invite cards for Easter weekend? Yeah. We should invite. But that's not enough. Most Christians have never seen what I'm going to show you right now from this parable. Notice that this time he said, not only invite them, but look at the word, bring them. Thank you for your excitement today. Bring them. Go out into the highways and the byways and remember the one that no one else cares about, the alcoholic, the drug addict, the prostitute. Go out and get that one that's an outcast, that no one wants included, invited, loved, or accepted. They're empty. They're broken. Let's see if they're hungry. Let's see if they want to change. Let's see if they're looking for something that can help them in a hopeless situation. And then he said, don't just invite them, but bring them. You know, I grew up in the church. My dad was a deacon, and I can remember people in our church inviting people, and they'd say, hey, you come to church with us Sunday, we'll take you out to eat afterwards. We'll take you out for lunch. Just come. Let's come by and pick you up, bring you to church, and we'll all have fellowship after. I told last night's service, you do know we have a Saturday night service at 5. I don't know if you knew. It'll probably grow after this even more. But we provide a meal, a free meal after the service. We cater it, have it brought in out in the lobby. We have fellowship. We have afterglow for about an hour. So I told them last night, you guys got an advantage on Sunday services because you don't have to pay for the meal. We're providing it after the service. Amen. So notice this is huge. You don't just invite them, and we want to do that. You don't just invite them. We want to do that. You know, I was talking to someone this last week, and I had to get a physical for a Key Man life insurance policy for the church, the ministry, in case I don't go up in the rapture, I go by the grave, and Daniel and Tamara are leading it after Kim and I are gone, and so I had to get another physical. I had to do this for 30 years, okay? So I had to get another physical, and the lady who walks in to give me the physical, I said, did you have a hard time finding us? And she goes, no. I said, where do you live? She goes, I live in Troy. This is the nurse who came to give me the physical. She goes, I live in Troy. I go, oh, so you know where we're at. Oh, I know where you're at, and I know who you are. All of a sudden, I'm nervous. She knows who I am. My heart rate just went up. Praise God. My blood pressure just, nah. I said, you know who I am? Oh, yeah. Here's what she said. 30 years ago in the North Campus, you took me and my husband to be through premarital counseling yourself 30 years ago. I said, really? She goes, yeah. You know, 30 years ago, it was in the North Campus in that auditorium and that church building where our Spanish church meets now every Sunday afternoon at 2:00. She said, you yourself, you didn't have a staff person do it. You took me and my husband to meet through premarital counseling. We went for weeks and we sent out invitations to our wedding and you were gonna do it in a park, outside in a park. It was in the spring. It was gonna be awesome. I go, wow, really 30 years ago? She goes, yeah. I said, well, how did it all go? She goes, well, the week before you had performed the wedding, I found out he was cheating on me. So I said, aren't you glad you found out before I tied the knot? Aren't you glad you found out he was cheating on you before you got married? You go, yes, amen, praise the Lord, hallelujah, amen. So I said, well, how's things going? Well, they're good. I said, you got kids? Yeah. I got grandkids? Yeah. I said, you know what? Easter weekend, it's huge. Easter weekend, you know, we're the Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I mean, we're going all out. It's going to be the biggest harvest, biggest Easter. I said, what ages are your grandkids? She told me. I said, you know, on Saturday, we're having an Easter egg hunt. We're having food trucks. We're having blow-ups. We're having games. We're having prizes. I'd like to invite you to bring your grandkids for that Saturday. She goes, Pastor, you don't have to worry about anything. We'll be there. I'll bring them. What they're telling us is 8 out of 10 people will come to church this Easter if you'll invite them. 8 out of 10 will come if you'll just invite them. So notice, inviting is not enough. You're to bring them. You're to bring them. And the servant said, Lord, it's done as you've commanded, and yet there's still room at Church on the Rock. There's still empty seats. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out now, go out again. Be aggressive, sense of urgency, have a burden. Don't give up on that one. Go out into the highways and the hedges and the byways, and you compel them to come in. Why, God? I want Church on the Rock, every seat filled. Do y'all see that? See, when I say that down through the years, people will say, you just want to build your kingdom. No, I don't want to build my kingdom. More people, more headaches. No, it's not about that. It's about reaching the unreached and loving the unloved and telling the hurting there's hope. Come on, somebody. We built this building 20 years ago. Joel Osteen dedicated it, okay? God didn't build 3,100 seats to sit empty. This is not condemnation. This is a challenge. This is a goal. What does God want? Every church in town that's preaching the gospel, he wants them full. He doesn't want hell full. He wants the church full. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So real quick, lessons to learn as the team comes out. And the ushers are going to give you a tool right now. So as they come down and hand you a tool, I want to leave with you today. Don't let that distract you. Just take one and pass it on down. But what do we learn from the parable of excuses? Number one, stop witnessing to those who aren't ready. Stop witnessing to those who aren't ready. Just plant a seed and let someone else in the future water it. Ushers, hurry up now. Let's get these passed out. And let someone else get the harvest on it. One sows, one waters, and one reaps the harvest. But stop wasting all your time witnessing to people who aren't ready to receive. Number two, don't just invite, but bring them. Don't just invite, but bring them. And number three, look for the lonely, the empty, the broken. Look for those that are hurting and hopeless. That's the harvest field. You with me, family? And number four, God wants his house full, not empty every church in America. God wants his house full. Pray. Number five, ask God for a burden. Ask God for compassion. That's the new commandment for the lost. And number six, be ready to share your hope. Be ready to share your hope. And I'm going to close with this story, okay? Never forget the one. You know, years ago, growing up, I have two siblings. I have a sister named Cheryl. She's 5 years older than me. A brother named Rick. He's 6 years older than me, okay? And when I was 10 years old, my parents, they moved from one town. My dad got a new job to another small community, another town, okay? When we moved into that town, a church in that community would send out invite cards. I don't know if you knew this or not, but we send out direct mail to all the newcomers in our community, inviting them to church. We do that through direct mail. And so the pastor came to visit us. We were new in the community, and the pastor from this little Assembly of God church came and visited us, and he said, you know, I'd like to invite your whole family to come to church this coming Sunday. Now, it was a little Pentecostal church of 100 people, okay? The pastor's name was Sam Reeves. He's in heaven. He had to drive a bus on the side. He was Kim's bus driver as she was going to school, riding the bus from the country, and he was my pastor. He led me to the Lord. He's in heaven. So anyway, we all went that Sunday. My mom, my dad, me, I'm 10. My brother would be 16, my sister 15. At the altar call, all of us went down to the altar except my brother. My mom and dad were backslidden Pentecostals. They were backslidden. I'd never gone to church regularly with them as a family. We'd never done it. Growing up until 10 years old, we didn't go to church. My parents were backslidden Pentecostals. But we all went to the altar and got born again, rededicated their life, mom and dad. But my brother, he wouldn't go forward. We went home that day. He told my parents, I want nothing to do. He's 16. He's got a hot car, chasing hot girls, and doesn't have time for God. He said, I don't want nothing to do with that church stuff. He'd never gone to church in his life. I don't want nothing to do with that church stuff or God. It may be good for you, but not for me. Well, it caused strife and turmoil in our house. So eventually my brother moved out while he was in high school and moved into our cousin's house who lived in the same town. So our home was estranged. Then growing up, he got out of high school and he got married and he went off to the military, Navy Intelligence. He could never tell us what he was doing. He was in Navy Intelligence stationed in Morocco. Okay, he served the military. He got out, okay? Now he's in his early 20s. He got out and him and his wife was remodeling an old home. And he was in the basement and he was cleaning out the old fireplace. It was an old house, low ceiling. Hit his head on the ceiling. 1 week later, he was dead. It said it activated a brain tumor. And so, but never forget the one. So what happens? He's getting prepped for surgery. The family, we've all been in there, and then we were asked to leave. He's getting prepped to go down for surgery. He never recovered, never came out of it. And they're prepping him. I can still remember, and we left, but then we found out later that day, after he went into surgery and he never came out, that our pastor had gone to see him as they were gurneying him down the hallway. Never forget the one. Our pastor led my brother Rick to the Lord, and he got saved on the gurney going to surgery for a brain tumor. My brother's in heaven today, but he would never be there if it wasn't for a man of God who wouldn't forget the one that everyone else had forgotten. Wow. Who's out there that God has assigned you that no one else would even give them the time of day to lead them to a God who's for them? Amen? I'm done. Did I help anybody today? Come on, let's give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah.
Thanks for watching this week's message. One way for you to connect here at Church on the Rock is through the God is for You classes. These classes are designed to teach you about the culture, mission, and values of Church on the Rock, and about your God-given design. You can take these classes anytime by going to our website at cotr.org/God is for You. And if you want to know about all the incredible things we have here at Church on the Rock, make sure to visit our website at cotr.org. And never forget, God is for you.